Hello, and welcome to the Games About Glory. I'm your host, Milo, and joining me tonight are Ram, Gareth, Ricky, and sitting on the right side of the desk for once, Steph. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Hi, Milo. How are you, mate?
Good, I'm good. It's Christmas, the World Cup is over, proper football returns very soon, and we've got a week to fill whilst we stuff our faces. So in the great traditions of Christmas entertainment, we have a Christmas special. We're going to be playing the popular BBC TV series Would I Lie to You? For those of you unfamiliar with the show, we have two teams. Gareth and Steph on one side, Ricky and Rem on the other. Panelists will read out a statement about themselves. The opposing team has to decide whether it's true or false by asking the panelists questions. None of the panelists have seen the statements before they read them out, and all of the statements tonight are about Spurs or football.
Can I ask a question of our gracious host at this point? Can we each name our teams? Is that okay?
If you really want to.
Okay, well, given that it's my suggestion. Gareth, should we name our team the Glorious Glens?
Yeah. I mean, you're saying Glens, though, so there's more than one. So are we the Glens, or have we got to name another Glen apart?
Hod is God. Let's call ourselves Hod is God.
Yeah, so I was being very pedantic then, wouldn't I?
Hod is God. That's our team.
Hod is God's fine, yeah.
Right then, Ram, what are we going to do?
Super Sissokos.
Oh, very good. I like it. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for letting me already interrupt. I apologise somewhat.
So without further ado, let's get going. So our first round is Home Truths. Our panelists will read out a statement. The other team have to quiz them and work out whether it's true or false. And first up is Ram.
I once participated so enthusiastically in a Mexican wave that I almost knocked out the person in front of me.
Come on, Gareth, you can go first.
Tell us about the game, Ram. Where was it?
It was at the old Wembley, and it was against Cameroon. And it was after the World Cup 90 game, so Cameroon were, you know, their stock.
You would have been 12 then.
Their stock was high. Yeah, I was pretty young. I was really young. It was maybe a year or two after that, and Cameroon came for a friendly at Wembley, and we won 2-0. Gary Lineker scored both goals, I believe.
So it was a 2-0 game, and you're saying it was the summer. You're saying it was right after the World Cup?
No. It was maybe like a year or two. Lineker was still playing for England, so I'm not sure how much longer he played.
So 1991, you think?
Yeah.
Can you remember, where in the ground were you sitting?
So I was sitting in, I can't remember what was north or south stand, but basically one of the behind the goals just to the side.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the drawback here, Ram, is that Gareth's probably got a spreadsheet open at the moment saying Cameroon, Wembley, 1990.
Every spectator that's ever been at Wembley since 1985.
I'm not going with a spreadsheet, but I'm going to ask you, who took you?
My cousin.
Your cousin? What's your cousin's name?
Gurjeet.
How many cousins do you have?
Oh, I've got more than I can count.
Okay,
right now,
and is Gurjeet still close by? Is he still near you? Do you still go to games with him?
No, not at all. He lives in, I think he's in Dubai now. He's quite a bit older than me. I'll say quite a bit, but he's...
Yep. Not going to ask him to phone him, were you?
How much older? No, I'm interested. How much older is he than you?
I think he's about 13 or 14 years older than me.
Mm. Steph's getting his quiz shows mixed up and wants to phone a friend, doesn't he?
And your mum and dad were all right with this? Top chap.
Yeah,
he wasn't the sort of guy who was going to sneak you beer. Did you sneak an alcoholic beverage on the way?
No, not at all. It was me and him, and we went. He wanted to go to the game. I really wanted to go. My mum said it was fine, and I went with him. And yeah, we had a good time. Apart from that unfortunate moment with the chap in front of me, yeah. I think
it's a friendly. Yeah. So a Mexican wave makes sense in a friendly.
Yeah.
So describe the exact incident. Like forensic detail.
So at this point, I can't remember if we'd already been. We'd already scored, but I do know. Obviously, it was in that part of the game where people started a Mexican wave, and I think the Cameroon. There was some.
As you
Cameroon
do, as
fans.
Soon as you scored a goal, you think, "Wow, the ball's gone in the back of the net." Yeah. Let's immediately start a Mexican wave, isn't that right, Gareth? Right, Gareth.
I think it's usually during the boring. Yeah. Usually during the boring bits, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
But bizarrely, not this time. So anyway,
No. It was. I was saying, I don't think it was before. I don't think we'd scored at this point. So it was the first Mexican wave I'd ever participated in. So I was really excited. I was watching it come around, and as it came around close, I was all prepared. And as it went, I went yeah, and I whacked my arms forward, and I really whacked the guy in front of me with in the back of his head with my knuckle. And
Hang on, so Gareth, can you help me visualize this? So you're whooshing your arms up in front of you, right? Yeah. You're whooshing them up in a wave. I would be quite interested to see. Were you sort of like doing the short arm Mexican wave where your little forearms were just sticking out like this? Or were you doing a full extension?
I did a full like outward extension. So wow. Like,
but you were small, so your arms would have been shorter. It's getting tricky.
Yeah.
Getting tricky. Okay. I suppose we're going to have to make a call here, Gareth, at some point. What are you thinking?
Presented that picture so well. I mean, I can imagine a 12-year-old Ram being very excited about being at Wembley, potentially seeing Roger Miller play. The idea of the Mexican wave. I mean, I know at Wembley, it was very, very cramped at Wembley, wasn't it? So there wasn't much distance between you and the person in front of you or behind you. I mean, I'm slightly surprised that your knee hadn't whacked him already when you were getting your hot dog and popcorn.
I have to say, I where I'm falling down with this entire thing is in the physical bit where you nearly knocked out the person in front of you with your giant like 12-year-old arms flailing directly in front of you, punching them in the back of the head with such force that you nearly knocked out a full-grown adult. Yeah. So Gareth, what are we saying?
Well,
here?
I'm just going to caveat that Ram's told me where he grows up, and I know of Dolis Valley in Barnet, and that's exactly the sort of technique that a 12-year-old needed to know just to exist on the way home.
Well, I may secede to your geographic knowledge there, and you are indeed a man of geography and knowledge. So how do you want to call this, mate?
I'm going to say it happened. I think it happened. I think all the ingredients are there.
I just don't think it did. But, you know, I'm happy to. I don't think it did. But, I, your cold analytical thinking versus my, you know, prispot flouncyism here. I think we should probably. I'm happy to secede to your answer based on the geography. The geography is so impressive.
I've got some local knowledge.
The fact you've predicted that a man would need to rabbit punch with his forearms at the age of 12. Coming from that, so we're presenting that you believe him, right? We believe him. Should we say we believe him?
I
you're saying true. Ram, is it true or false?
The answer is true. It really happened.
Yes, Gareth, well done. Very good. Very good. I'm very impressed with you, not my own cynicism.
I mean, next time you're over here, go for a walk through Dolis Valley. That's
don't do that.
You all right?
Oh,
actually.
No, it's all been it's all
crushed.
Brand new, yeah, flats and houses and apartments. You can't afford to live there anymore, as with the rest of London.
So next up is Ricky.
Right then, I sneak Spurs references into my children's names.
I mean, I'm gonna go Wimbledon 1989 here, Steph, and say, what's the name of your what are your children's names?
I think that's the appropriate question to ask, my friend.
That's such a good reference.
I have one child, and her name is Summer, and her middle name is Ray.
I mean, I think we could probably dispense with an awful lot of waffling here and just say it's total bollocks, isn't it, Gareth? I mean, it's like out on earth. I mean, it's Summer and Ray.
I know Ricky's Spurs era here, so I'm thinking Ray Clements was the goalkeeper.
Which would I'm almost speechless because the mere I mean, I love Ray Clements, but the mere thought of anyone naming gerrymandering their child's name to include a reference to Ray Clements is somewhat bizarre of that era, especially as it surely have been a Hoddle or an Aussie or a Ricky, although I guess it's tough to, you know, Ray. Yeah, I suppose it gets harder when you think of the classic players to.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, Summer's a good reference because we never used to lose in the summer because we never played then.
I was trying to think if we ever had a Jürgen Summer on our side, but I don't think we did. No, we didn't. We had no Scandinavian Summers, so to speak. What I'm interested in is your wife has referred to this pod on numerous occasions, and I probably is still referring to it now as Wanker Chat. How did she, does she aware, does she know that this happened
on her watch? You mean would I sneak it in stealthily without her knowing?
Right. Is she aware to this day that there's a potential that the Ray in your daughter's name refers
of
to?
Of course not. Whether it's pets or children, it'll be by stealth, and then hopefully she never meets all my Spurs mates.
Would the revelation of this truth potentially, or if it was to be aired to her via this pod, via a friend, could it rupture the Ricky household in an irreparable way? Would you be nervous?
Not at all. She was perfectly happy with the naming when we talked about it. Our dear daughter did have over a week without a name, and some of the relations were saying at some point, at some point you've got to kind of say, yeah, we have actually thought up a name. Because
so it took you a week?
Yeah, it did, honestly. Because we thought about names a lot, and then, as Ram will probably tell you, that if you haven't decided on a name by the time the child is born, then you're quite busy with other stuff when you get sent home from the hospital. And then we almost had to have like a sit down and talk about the name. Because people were asking questions. Has that new human being got a name yet?
Steph and Gareth, you haven't asked which player yet. You've assumed. I mean, it could be Ray Parler because she's a mistake.
Oh my word. Goodness gracious.
Right, I'm going to interject quickly here. Did you know you were having, did you know the sex of your child before she was born?
Nah, no surprises in life these days. I'm not going to find that out. I'd rather not know.
Can I ask you I don't want you to give us a player, but what other players were figuring into your 7-day thought as you sat for 7 days with a nameless child wondering, can I sneak a Spurs name in without...
Well, it gets a little bit trickier because obviously she was a girl, so,
Of course.
Yeah. So, without calling them silly names like Chelsea and stuff like that, absurd names. But yeah, other names? Who else was... I don't know, really.
None floated through that 7-day period? You just on the 7th day, Ray was created? Was that kind of where we're at?
We kind of had some girl names already, so it was more of a middle name that was going to sneak something in there, you see. The first name was pretty much in a list of a few, but none of them were like Spurs related. I wouldn't go that route one.
How is Ray spelt?
R-A-E.
Okay, so you've tampered with a vowel, have you? Y is a consonant. Sorry. Jesus Christ, I'm tripping myself up.
Go on, I'm going to have to press you. I'm going to have to press you for a decision.
Look, Gareth, you can tell by my face, I think it's utter bullshit. I mean, it's just unbelievable amounts of waffling. I'm not buying it for an inch.
No, I agree with you.
I didn't waffle at all. It must have been you. Don't criticise yourself so much, Steph.
My whole life is a big waffle. It doesn't preclude the fact that I think it's bullshit. All things aside, I think it's rubbish.
I agree with you.
Go on, so Ricky, is it true or false?
It is a lie.
We're on it.
Next up, we have the Waffle Room Chief, Steph. This is yours.
Okay.
All right, then.
Do you want to read it out?
I once hung out with Sol Campbell whilst he was wearing a fetching velvet suit.
How dare you?
What colour was the suit?
Blue.
Trousers and jacket?
Both blue.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean were they both velvet? Well, it's a velvet suit.
Okay.
What did you talk about?
Not a whole bunch. He's not the greatest conversationalist, his old soul, as you might have noticed. A few ambient comments about the team here and there. Not much, though. Quiet man.
Let's place this then. Where was this, Steph?
Yeah.
Venue.
It was at the old White Hart Lane.
What year, roughly?
1996, 97, somewhere in there.
Okay, and was this in one of the lounges?
Affirmative, yeah, it was. Yeah, I think,
What game was it? I take it you'd gone to see a game.
We had, the game escapes me, to be honest. The game escapes me.
Had he played in the game then?
Yeah, he had,
And he changed into a blue velvet suit afterwards? Obviously.
A man is entitled to wear whatever clothing he wants after a football match, Ricardo. I don't think it's for you to comment on his fashion.
I just think it's a shame that a 12-year-old Ram wasn't stood behind him and someone started the next one. Oh,
so I can get on board with visualising Sol Campbell wearing a velvet suit after a game. But Steph... He normally, Steph, this game, or who was playing or whatever like that, he's normally really good at going, oh yeah, that was such and such, and this was the score, and this is who scored.
I think you're getting confused with Gareth, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I think Steph might be playing it up a bit. You see, this is the other tactic with the game, you sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Did you say he played though, Steph, or not? I can't remember. What was the answer again? He did play.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So is it not like club issue? Kind of outfits for those kind of occasions normally. It's only like
I don't understand why you're picking on his fashion sense. This is really not fair. The man's allowed to wear what he wants to wear. Don't make this about a man's clothing tastes.
That's what I'm saying though. But he might not have been because the club might have issued with him post match gear that you have to wear. Because when you don't play, we've seen like from like Sonny recently, you can just wear what you like, can't you? So
well, you know that is a moment where I think we can all ask a question. However, Sonny is endorsed by Burberry, right? So I suppose that was an endorsement thing.
Who else was there?
Where? At the game, it was all the players. They were all on the pitch and they were all playing.
No, when you were hanging out with him, was there anyone else notable, like your other half or someone else?
My other half was not with me. I mean, there were notable people, but not my other half, no. She wasn't.
What do you think, Ricky?
Oh, it's a tough one. Any interesting small chat you had with him? Anything? How far was he? Did you talk about contracts or anything? Signing new ones or anything like that?
When faced with a man in a blue velvet suit, it's hard to think of things that you could talk about with them, being that I am not someone who would wear a blue velvet suit. It felt already that there might be a world between us that was maybe too far to bridge. Mm.
Did you ask him where he was off to later? Because that, you know, he must have been. That might have been a good question.
You mean in terms of club or in terms of evening?
That
evening.
Or in terms of, I've got a blue velvet suit on, where are you off to? Because
I think, you know, one of the things you must know about me at this point in life, Ricky, is that I do sometimes, I jump to a conclusion and then have to be dialed back or self-dial it back. So I suspect that I jumped to a conclusion at that point and just assumed that he was off to the loudest, rudest nightclub possible, which, of course, would be completely antithetical to anything I think that Sol Campbell has shown himself to be about. So I doubtless got it wrong.
Right. Come on, guys. What do you reckon?
Right then. What do you reckon,
Ricky? It's almost outlandish enough that I want to say true, but I'm not convinced.
No, I'm not convinced for some reason. I don't know why.
Should we, if we're both saying we're not convinced, should we go with false?
Yeah, let's say Steph is, let's say it's a lie.
I think it's a lie.
Steph, did you hang out with Sol Campbell in his blue velvet suit?
Yes, I did. Oh. We were in the players' lounge. I was a guest of Espen's, actually. My friend Espen Bardson, top man, by the way. I had my son with me. So I did have someone significant with me, but you didn't ask about him. You asked about my wife. My wife wasn't there. And yes, we did. We did exchange a few words, but it was quite quiet. And he was hanging out with his brother was with him. And I do have a photograph of the moment at hand, and I will try and dig it out for a future pod. Because I only really remembered the moment when I came across this photo and I was going through my stuff at my mum's house recently. And it was just like, oh, wow, that's right. That happened. He was very polite, and he struck me as being really incredibly shy. I remember but he was in the players' lounge, and there were loads of people milling about. And he was after a game. I mean, he played, so he was in about 45 minutes later, I think it was. So yeah, no, completely true.
Excellent,
good stuff. Wow, Steph.
Yeah.
All right, Gareth, you're last up in this round.
I missed a penalty at Wembley.
How old were you when this happened? When this tragic miss occurred?
I was 12.
12. And who were you playing against?
I wasn't playing against anyone.
Oh. Could you walk us through?
Was there anyone in goal?
tragically not.
Diana Ross levels, this is. Okay, was it a full-size goal?
It was a full-size goal. Yeah, it was the old goals at the old Wembley Stadium with the lovely stanchions.
Yep.
Good stanchion. Mention a good stanchion like that, Gareth. That just shows the quality of man you are to spot those details. And I'm with you. The modern stanchion is shit.
It's one thing, if they could bring one thing into the new Tottenham Stadium from the old one, it would be the old stanchions that they used to have in the nets.
Love it.
Until they introduced the box goals.
We all remember that Trevor Brooklyn goal, don't we?
Mm.
Do you remember when he stuck it in the stanchion? He got stuck in there, top corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you wearing kit, or were you just came onto the pitch and thought you'd have a go?
I was wearing trainers. I was in a tracksuit.
You were there like officially allowed onto the pitch, yes?
I was, well, I mean, I wasn't, I hadn't caused any offence by being on the pitch at the time. It was legitimate that I was on there.
You just caused offence by missing the penalty.
I caused myself offence, yeah.
Was there, what event was this? Was there an actual game going on, and it was before the game, during the game, obviously, after the game?
So what happened was my dad, who was a sort of amateur referee, was refereeing a staff match on the pitch at Wembley.
Okay.
And at the end of it, I'd been there and I was watching, and at the end of it, he sort of ushered me on and said, look, you know, there's a ball, and I decided I'd try and take a penalty.
Why didn't you ask for a retake? Yeah, the ref, someone must have moved and encroached into the penalty box. You could have got an official retake there, right?
The problem was that having missed the penalty, it went too far away. And by the time I got the ball back,
onto the North Circular, was it?
The moment had gone, yeah.
Ricky, I'm inclined to believe Gareth just because he's the lineage of referees in his family.
Yeah.
It's a good lineage.
Can I just ask, did it mentally scar you, Gareth, this penalty miss? Because you couldn't. It was your big day, your big moment, wasn't it? And and you had to.
I still remember it now. Yeah,
yeah.
Go and hunt for the ball over the dog track somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't scarred me because I did score the third penalty for Old Owen's 5th 11 against HSBC's 5th 11 in the SAL League Cup in 2001.
Nice.
Wow, redemption. Right then.
Did you get distracted by a young Ricky showing his ass off in the stand?
You mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, complete distraction.
All right, Ricky.
So if you'd said it was half time in the England Cameroon game in 1990, there was a wet Mexican wave going around, you saw someone clobbered on the back of the head just as he was about to take the penalty and it put him off. That would have.
I'm inclined to believe him, Ricky.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think, well, yeah, as long as Gareth's dad's a ref and, you know, I think I believe him. I think it's true.
Gareth, is it true or false?
Sadly, it is true. I did miss an open goal penalty at Wembley Stadium in 1993. The full story was, Dad was refereeing an FA staff match immediately after the 1993 Anglo-Italian Cup final between Derby and Cremonese. All the crowd had gone by that point.
Wow.
And then, I was ushered onto the pitch. And this was peak Teddy Sheringham. It was about March 93. Mm. So when I took my penalty technique was to model his. So it was to try and bend it into the top right corner. Oh, so in hindsight, I obviously just would have rolled it down the middle and said I'd scored at Wembley. But I wanted to go full Teddy and...
Panenka was not yet in your conscience.
It wasn't in my repertoire. No, it wasn't. So I tried the full Teddy, and it went about an inch. I'm going to say an inch over and an inch to the wide, and the ball ended up down the players' tunnel, and I didn't have time to retrieve it and take another one.
And you know what? I will add here. Most people, if they talk about, it was an inch, you'd say no, it must have been a foot. But from you, I believe it was an inch.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next round. And this round is This Is My. So in the TV programme, someone would walk onto the set now, stand there in silence whilst the team read out statements about how they know them, and the other team quiz them to work out who's telling the truth. We don't have someone to stand here, so you'll have to imagine that. It's Ricky and Ram.
This is John. And after a North London derby, we ended up dirty dancing in Clapham.
Ricky?
This is John, and we once sat next to Jude Law at White Hart Lane.
So I'm going to, well, let me go in order. Let me ask Ram first. Where do you know John from?
I met him at work. We both worked in the same place. So I've known him for quite a while now, probably about 15, 16 years.
Okay.
Ricky, what year did this event occur?
I think the mid-2000s, 2005.
Okay.
I can't be precise though, Steph, sorry.
No, I understand. I live with imprecision in my own head always.
Well, Ricky, where in the stadium were you sitting?
What, next to Jude Law?
Yeah.
West Upper.
Okay. I mean, you don't normally sit in the West Upper, do you?
I would not normally.
It seems quite incongruous with your sort of mooning, which is...
It was definitely
more Park Lane Lower material.
Park Lane, yeah. It's a hot ticket game, so... That's the only place I could get a ticket.
Can I ask you a question? Were you in the complimentary ticket section, or did you pay for your ticket, Ricky?
I paid for my ticket.
You did. Okay. Interesting.
I paid over the odds for my ticket.
Evidently, if you're sitting next to Jude Law.
Ram, do you often go out in Clapham? Is that a haunt for you?
Do you know, it's not really somewhere I would go out regularly or used to go out regularly. But John used to live in Clapham and we were meeting a girl and her friend. And this girl he was meeting was someone he was trying to woo, who has now ended up, he's now with.
It's John Woo. You were at Tottenham Hotspur. You were at Tottenham, you were at White Hart Lane with John Woo, weren't you? That was a joke. I had a bad one.
I like the way that Gareth sent us in on the geography of this. He doesn't believe you've gone to Clapham, but the dirty dancing bit, he's just let it ride. That's a good
one. Don't worry. We have a telepath.
South of the river, though.
This is why Hoddy's God works so well, because Gareth's got that side covered. And don't worry, we're getting to the dirty dancing. Ram, what is dirty dancing to you? What's a dirty dancing Clapham? Give us a description.
Well, it was a literal... the lift from Dirty Dancing.
Mm. Were you having the time of your life?
We were having the time of our life.
Were you dirty dancing as a foursome, or was it two and two? How was this going down, if you will?
You haven't seen the film, no. Have you, Steph?
I haven't seen it for years, no.
Well, who was Swayze? That's what we need to know.
Oh, right.
I honestly can't remember. I want to say it was me, but John would probably say it was him.
I mean... Obviously, the muscles you had on you as a 12-year-old, as a fully grown man, you're going to be a lot better.
Which North London derby did this follow? What was the outcome of the North London derby that you'd been to? I mean, was it one that you would want to go dirty dancing to afterwards? Most North London derbies, you'd want to go home and not see another human being for a good few days.
It was the 2-2 draw in the Poch era when we were at home. The one where Harry scored that incredible goal and he ripped off his mask. Mm-hmm. So it was after that game.
Yeah, so it's March 2016, which date in this, Steph? Just
that's the one, yeah.
Have we leapt a decade from Ricky's North London derby to Rams? I'm just trying to work that out.
Ricky's one isn't necessarily a North London derby, is it?
They're not the same match, Steph. They're completely unrelated statements. One of them is true, one of them is false.
But you're right. Chronologically, both these potentially hypothetical situations are 10 years apart. Well, Ricky, did you have any conversation with Jude?
Well, I didn't actually sit next to him. John did. Because otherwise, you know, if we were either side of him, that would have been a bit weird, wouldn't it? So, but John spoke to him.
Yeah, did he have much to say for himself?
No, not really. Not some of these same as people are like. All I'm going to say is that he was okay without being horrible. As a kind of the vibe he gave off. Small talk. Yeah. That's it. Don't want to say anything else more to you.
Come on, Gareth. Come on, Steph. Let's have you guess. Who's telling the truth?
I don't know. I'm musing here, but I think Ricky is my instinct.
Oh, really? See, my instinct is Ram. That's interesting. Okay.
Got a coin?
I don't know. Mm. Okay, you know, you might be right. Ricky's paid over the odds for the ticket, sitting in a part of the ground he doesn't normally sit.
We know Ricky has form for this as well, paying over the odds for Spurs tickets.
Yeah, and we also know that Ricky would probably not have engaged himself in an enormous chat with Jude Law, and that generally celebrities, when they're sitting there, they do tend to just want to watch the game. They're not going to be talking about, you know, yeah, David Cronenberg was interesting to work with. yeah, you might be right. Let's roll the dice. I think we can afford to roll the dice here a little bit, can't we?
Let's go with that. I've got a Milo factor in my head that's going to play havoc with game theory here.
What's the Milo factor? Share it before we make the judgment.
Okay, so my factor is in the last round, Ram told the truth and Ricky's one was a lie. Mm. So therefore, you know, logically, you would expect that to flip. So it would therefore be Ricky's one this time. But this is Milo here, who would have, yeah. I mean, game theory kicks in, didn't it? So,
yeah. But, you see, the one thing I will say is that Ram's really got a bit of detail in there, isn't he? He's gone full Flashdance, which, of course, as Milo pointed out, is a film I can't even remember very well.
It's Dirty Dancing. Flashdance is a separate film, Steph.
Fucking hell, I can't even get any of them right.
Yeah, I was too busy watching Kubrick, Kiyosaki, and other great auteurs of the film world to watch that trash. So there you go. Yeah, okay.
All right, Gareth, what are we going to do?
Let me go with my instinct.
I'll let you go with your instinct.
Which was to go with Ricky knows John.
Okay.
And they sat next to Jude Law in the West Upper.
Okay. Right, at this point, actually, if it was in the studio, they'd ask him. I'll do that, but I'll be John.
Yes.
For the benefit of this.
Go on.
my name is John, and I went dirty dancing with Ram in Clapham after a North London derby.
I did. I thought there was a little bit there, but I mean, you know, yeah.
If you want a bit more detail, we went to, I don't know how we ended up in Clapham from Tottenham. I don't remember the journey down.
Probably the Victoria line to Stockwell.
We ended up in the mosquito bar, and we got asked to leave from the mosquito bar for our dirty dancing attempt, and we were the only two people in mosquito bar.
Let's move on to quickfire lies. So this is basically the same as the first round, but it's just a bit quicker. Gareth, you're first up.
I once sent off Declan Rice.
Right. How long ago was this?
This
roughly?
Was.
Although you all know precisely, so just tell me precisely.
It was in my first season refereeing, so that was what, 2009.
Okay. Where was this?
This was Spurs training ground, which wasn't then at in Enfield.
Okay,
not the current iteration of it.
Who was he playing for? Some kind of West Ham youth team, I'll take it.
He was at Chelsea at the time.
Oh, Chelsea.
Ah. What was the incident? What happened?
It was, well, I mean, I thought it was a sending off. It was right at the end. So they play four periods. They play four periods of 20 minutes. And it was the very final of those four. And there'd been a bit of a kicking. There'd been a bit of an incident between the two midfielders. And then as I was about to blow the final whistle, that I turned around and they were both actually pushing each other. So I had to say to both coaches, I want you both to take them off. I want you to roll. You can bring other subs on, but I want them both taken off.
Were there any other young players there that have gone on to anything, get up to much?
It's very rare that I remember names, but because this was like the first time that I'd been involved in that sort of altercation. I can remember being a bit anxious that it was Spurs Chelsea anyway, which shouldn't really make a difference at that age group, but it was always, you know, tensions were a bit high, that I just picked up some of the names. So I just picked up that there was this kid called Declan who was playing.
Well, and
do you remember the name of the other kid?
No, it was a Spurs player. I can't remember who it was.
You know every single Spurs player ever. Hold up.
No, I'd only remember because I mean sometimes using the player's name you use it to your advantage or not, but I can remember I've been talking to this Declan several times throughout the game.
Had there been a sort of a running thing during the game then? Had it been a bit feisty?
We're just between these two kids in midfield.
Yeah, and then it boiled over.
It's just been a bit of, it was just sort of pushing and shoving at the end of it. So, I don't know. I didn't sort of like get the red card out because you don't tend to do that at that level. But it was definitely, I asked both coaches to remove the players.
Was it a close game then? Do you remember what the score was or the scoring?
I mean, unfortunately, Chelsea put quite a few past Spurs. But
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believable.
I should. Can I ask one from my own team? Was John Terry there to celebrate at the end?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Fuck it. Oh, Ricky, what do you reckon?
I think, unless the Spurs player was being a bit arsey, because obviously, like he said, they'd scored a few goals, like Chelsea were a few goals up, there'd be no real... So unless Rice has been provoked, because normally when you're winning by a lot, usually you're not really that bothered, are you, about being kind of aggressive? And also, so he would have been about, I mean, how old is Declan Rice? So this would have been, would he have been 9 or 10 at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's 24 now. So, yeah. It was an under nines game.
Smell a rat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with you if you think it's a lie.
It's just that someone with encyclopedic brain like Gareth not knowing some of the finer details, and the fact that Declan Rice, I mean, the only thing is Declan Rice, I can, you know, if they're like 7-0 up or something, he could have been, you know, goading the other player,
but also I don't think he's that kind of person at all either.
As a player
he's like quite a nice player. And the other thing is, even with the master brain that Gareth is, I don't think I would remember an under 10, 9 player, particularly his name, all that many years ago. Because now it seems obvious because Declan Rice is famous, but he was just a run-of-the-mill player then, wasn't he? Just another face in the under 10s.
In the same way you always remember your first crush and you remember the name of the first barman who served you when you were underage, sending off the first kid, first time that you've had to send someone off.
Oh, was it the first time you sent someone off then?
Yeah.
You had to, oh, okay.
Yeah,
who turned out to be who turned out to be an integral part of the England setup. I mean, I think it would be quite a memorable.
I still call BS.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Yeah, Gareth, it's a lie.
Is it true or is it false?
As to the best of my knowledge, it's false. I don't remember refereeing Declan Rice in his formative years. The only current professional I can actually physically remember being on the pitch with is Oliver Skip at Spurs. Mm. I didn't send him off either.
No.
That was my biggest fear when making these up, was that I'd make one up that was true.
yeah, that's true, yeah.
And next up is Ricky.
I bought my first pair of football boots from a Spurs legend.
Bullshit. Sorry.
And good night, everyone.
I have to ask. Okay, what brand?
Patrick.
Okay, and what size?
I will just clarify. I need to clarify a little thing. I mean, sometimes you had to make do with them kind of Woolworths boots, didn't you? So, this is my first pair of proper boots, I would say.
Were the flashes? What color were the flashes on the boots?
They were like a silvery gold color, but mainly
a silvery
black.
Gold. But mainly black.
Well, so the boots were black.
Did you say they were proper boots and not ones you got from Woolworths? Was that the point you were making?
He's saying they're Patrick. Yeah, the first proper pair of football boots you got were a pair of Patrick boots.
My statement is my first pair of football boots when technically they probably weren't. You know.
I suddenly had visions of Steve Archibald working in Woolworths in Portsmouth.
No. Yeah, what year was this? I'll give you a latitude of a year either side.
82, 83.
Okay. What size foot were you at that age? I mean, you're quite young at this point.
Size 3. 4.
You're a size 3.
Well, I don't know.
Hang on. So you bought your first pair of football boots from a Spurs at the age of 3. Okay. You know what? I'm going to ask. Sorry, Gareth. I got one more question, which is quite pertinent, and I think that this could be the deal breaker right here. When you say you bought them from a Spurs legend, are you talking about a shop that the Spurs legend might have owned?
Yes, I am.
Gareth, I think I know exactly where we're going with this. I really do. I believe that he might be referring to Steve Perryman's sports shop. Didn't Steve Perryman have a sports shop? A sports concern? He had a kitsch around that time, didn't he? He started a business.
Ricky, where was this sports shop? Where did you buy your pair of boots?
It was in a Surrey village, Banstead.
Okay, that's not Stevie P. That's where
it's not the same one.
No.
He had a couple though, didn't he? Didn't he have an interest in a couple? No, I thought.
No. Was it your local? Would you go and frequently buy sportswear and equipment from this same shop, or was it a field trip to go and get it?
No, because my nan lived in Banstead in Surrey. This is like a village, so it was God bless her soul, her who bought them for me because I was 10, 11 years old. So
you walked in with your nan. Yeah. Right. And technically, was the person who handed you the boots a shopkeeper? Was it just an ordinary, like, I'm a member of the public working? He was actually a legend.
So what you're saying here, Steph, is that 10-year-old Ricky goes in there, there's someone serving him, and he says, are you the patron of this establishment? Is that what you think happens?
Something like that, yeah. No, what I'm trying to, but in all fairness, what I'm trying to determine is whether this Spurs legend was working behind the till.
This line of questioning is more being taken in to help the police with their inquiries than BBC Light Entertainment, isn't it?
Ricky, how did you know that said shopkeeper was a Spurs legend? Because that insinuates that he'd retired.
Because I was a Tottenham fan.
The name that you... I mean, we should ask. We've avoided this question, Steph. Let's just stick it in the box here. Who was the legend?
The Spurs legend was Mullers, Alan Mullery.
Okay. If I'm dating this, back to what, about 1982, 83, you said.
Yeah.
Alan Mullery, very prominent for Spurs in the early 70s.
Yeah.
He would have been, was he managing at Brighton at the time?
That's what I'm thinking. So, yeah. He was at Brighton around that time, wasn't he?
Kind of makes sense. I can see Mullers being a little bit entrepreneurial. The pension that he would have, I could see he could have.
I think we should make a call here. I think we're both sort of edging to the fact that he's telling the truth, aren't we?
Yeah. That's it.
I think we should just go with it. Yeah,
Alan
Mullery's
a certified Spurs legend, so there's no technicality. It's not like he bought them from Clive Wilson, is it?
No. No, Mullers definitely counts. Yeah, you know what? I think that we're saying we believe you.
Ricky, are they right to believe you?
So Steph's gone full circle from bollocks to... to I believe you.
Yes, the story of my life, yeah.
It is true.
Hey.
He had a sports shop in Banstead High Street.
Yeah.
And although the weird thing I would say is about knowing him, because like that was prime time Tottenham. So, you know, we'd won FA Cups and the UEFA Cup then. And I must admit though that if someone was like just retired from Spurs 10 years early, you'd know 100% who they were, and you knew about he may be manager of Brighton and that kind of thing. But I never at that age really sort of thought, oh my god, this is like walking into a shop with an absolute. Mm. Spurs legend like you would these days, someone who retired, let's say, 10 years ago. Like you went in the shop and Ginola was in there running it, you know what I mean? You'd be like, whoa.
Alan Mullery is the sort of person who surely would have had some sort of informational plaque making sure you knew how much of a legend he was, even though he, you know, you might not know him. You make damn sure by the time he got to the counter that you did know who he was and who he played for, right? Did he have one of those? Do you remember?
No, well, his medals, you mean, up on the wall.
Or a photograph of him saying, this shop is owned by the legend that is Alan Mullery or something like that.
I don't know, because when Len used to talk about it, because I think my nan, I think she had a bit of a soft spot for Alan, because she worked in there's lots of shops in the village there. It's quite a big village.
Yeah, yeah.
And she worked in the flower shop in the same row of things. She had a bit of a, so that's why she sort of thought,
I get
it. I'll take you into Mullery Sports. It'll sort us out, don't worry. Nice, lovely
Alan.
Brilliant.
But is it, and he's the sort of ex-Spurs legend that you could see having a good cup of tea with a couple of bickies and a natter with, couldn't you? He's got that vibe.
He'd
for
talk
sure.
you through your choice that. Of boots as well, wouldn't he? He'd tell you
he would.
The pros and cons of Patrick.
He had all those boxes of all the different sizes just stacked. Usually people have them out the back, don't they? But he had loads of them like in the shop. So it was like a real personal service of a young kind of whippersnapper coming in. And
so you wouldn't have missed your penalty, Gareth, if you'd gone to Mullery Sports.
Exactly, mate.
That's absolutely right. Did you have super... I've got to ask, did you get the Super Keegans? Because that's what I got that right around that age. And they had the green flash on the back. They had the two green flashes.
No.
You got a gold flash.
Were
I
they
never saw the gold
as
flash.
Well, though, you mean?
Yeah, Super Keegans. Keegan endorsed Patrick. So I think he was at South.
Keegan endorsed.
It's really soft leather, weren't they? The softest
they're
leather.
Really nice boots. And
they were excellent.
Yeah.
Next up, it's you, Steph.
I played in a five-a-side football team that beat a team containing Liam and Noel Gallagher.
See, in Steph's world, that's the thing.
That could be the double bluff, though, because Steph's world,
that
could happen. Where did this happen, Steph? Festival somewhere?
It was in Manchester.
Was it like a private thing or was it an event?
No, it was a private thing.
And was it at like the local goals centre or was it at Main Road?
Neither.
No?
Where was it?
Well, technically not at Eastlands, but it was at they have a training compound. It was in one of their indoor facilities.
How long ago was this?
4 years ago, if my maths right.
And
2019.
Were there other teams there as well? Was it like a little
No, absolutely not.
Just a kickabout with the Gallaghers, yeah.
No, not quite. A little bit more. I can't reveal too much more because it will then, open up my employment status. And I don't want to do that.
Okay.
But I can tell you it involved my employers and it involved, one of those sort of like, hello, we're all so famous that we can do these things together that mere mortals dream of. And, oh, who's this toe rag who's managed to fucking knob his way into the party? Oh, that'll be me. One of those moments.
Did you score, Steph?
I did.
Did you?
I always score, mate. Every Tuesday I score when I play here, when I play with the plebs, like myself. I'm a pleb. I consider myself a plebeian. I mean that in the way, the plebiscites. And I score against the stars as well, mate. Yeah.
Cool.
What kit were you wearing?
I had the home shirt from that season on.
Did that go down well with the Gallaghers?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I can reveal that Noel Gallagher has a particular dislike for Tottenham Hotspur. As does Liam, but Noel is more vocal about it. I am proud to say that he did refer to me for the remainder of the time as Mr. Tottenham with a sneer.
Who Noel did?
Yes, which I took as it's probably because he was like, who is that twat? I can't remember his name. Oh, look at his shirt. But I took it as high praise.
That is true about Noel and Liam, but it's specifically Noel. That's very detailed. Mm. He does absolutely hate us.
Mm. Yeah, Noel probably vocalises it better than Liam.
Yeah.
Liam's probably more hand signals than Ian, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Ricky, what do you think?
I think this is bollocks.
Do you?
And the reason is you'd be really lucky to get Liam and Noel in the same room, let alone the same football pitch.
Oh.
And it was 4 years ago. Yeah, because they properly disbanded it. I remember it was like 2008 or something like that. So, yeah. Oh, Ricky.
Ricky.
Sorry.
It's got all the EastEnders there.
Ricky. Oh, that's such a... I think you might have cracked the code there.
Yeah.
But But the thing is, the way Steph talks about it and the way he talks about how he can't reveal too much and the reasons why, and then talking about...
Yeah, but I expect that kind of gameplay from Steph.
Yeah,
He's a wordsmith.
Okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Say it's false.
Yeah, on that one reason we think it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Steph, is it true or is it a lie?
No, it is indeed a lie. You're absolutely right, Ricky. You called it right, actually. As you said it, you busted it on the one point that I think was completely fallible. I thought I had you on everything else. But I will say one bit that is true is that I've spent time with Noel Gallagher here and there over the years, and he does and has referred to me as Mr. Tottenham, which I am proud of.
Noel,
he's great.
He's
all up for a bit of banter. You know, he knows the game. I mean, he's very knowledgeable. Yeah, no, he's always been decent. Yeah.
Last up, Ram to close the show.
I once nearly ran over Tim Sherwood.
How near?
Not near enough.
Near enough. I was trying to think of the what exact. We're all What was the vehicle in question?
So I was in my vehicle.
Which vehicle?
It's just my vehicle. It was a black. I'll tell you the model. It's Peugeot 3008.
Okay. Automatic or stick?
Stick.
It's a good job we're not in the same room as Steph be waterboarding you for this.
It's whatever you want it to be. Just stop it.
What did you have on the radio at the time? Were you wearing your seatbelt?
Was your foot aching from overuse of the clutch? Yeah, right. There's the thing.
Did you change gears and go in the opposite direction? Try to have a second go at him.
Was Tim wearing a gilet at this particular moment? I have to ask that.
He wasn't wearing a gilet. Mm.
So was he crossing the road, or were you? Did you mount the pavement to try and have a go at him? What was going? How malicious was this near? It was this near death experience former captain.
How long had you been stalking him?
Basically, they're asking, did you swerve towards him or away from him?
So it was a genuine mistake. Well, it wasn't really a mistake. It was a genuine, like...
Genuine hit and run, was it?
It was in a car park, and it wasn't premeditated or anything.
So describe how this near, I mean, were you reversing out of your spot and Sherwood was casually walking by?
No, it was, I was already driving and this car park, so it kind of, it's a car park where it's got sort of multiple sort of areas and in the middle of it is a building. So I was coming round the corner to exit. As I'd come out the car park, and he walked out onto the sort of the driveway or the path or whatever road leading out, and so I didn't see him, and he was walking out, and then when I turned, he was there. I stopped in time, obviously, and he looked quite annoyed. But then,
did he jump up in the air and roll around on the ground holding his leg?
Were you known to each other before this incident?
We were known to each other, which is why he, once he realised who it was, he was okay.
He was okay with his near-death experience,
We were able to laugh about it.
At the time? Were you laughing at the time?
At the time, yeah. After an initial couple of seconds of me being a bit pissed off that he just walked out and him being pissed off that I, to be fair, was driving a bit too quickly down this sort of path to the exit, we were able to laugh about it.
Did he chuckle when you said, "Get you next time, Tim," and wave at him as you drove off? Did he laugh at that? Just trying to ascertain how much of humour Tim Sherwood might have. What do you think, Gareth? Any questions? What do you think?
Ram strikes me as a fairly considerate driver. I think he'd be quite sensible in the car as well.
Hey, but we aren't accounting for Tim Sherwood's complete brainlessness. I mean, Tim Sherwood probably expects everything around him to stop when he's walking. Well, that's not fair. He's probably quite a nice chap. Is he a nice chap, Ram?
He is a nice chap.
Yeah, okay. We should correct ourselves somewhat and say that, you know, we don't want to cast negative aspersions on someone.
I will say I don't know him that well, but from what I have seen of him, he comes across as a nice chap.
Great. That's
is this, is this part of the truth and lie bit? Is it?
Before the game is about glory, Pog gets issued with a defamation litigation case. Yeah. I will say, from personal experience of having met Tim Sherwood before, he was a very nice man.
I mean, I have to say that he always projects us being someone who's decent bloke, but maybe is not, shall we say, best suited to manage Tottenham Hotspur, which he wasn't. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so I just want to clarify this, if you don't mind, before we...
last question, I think, yeah.
You were driving around the corner and he was coming out from one of those central areas which has a stairwell or an elevator or whatever, yeah? And he was walking out from there and you turned the corner and he had just stepped into the road to get to his car, I'm assuming, right?
No, he was already walking down the side of the building, yeah. And then sort of crossing this path of the road to get to another car park bit where his car was.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, in hindsight, what sort of percentage of fault would you put on him and you?
Is this a case it now turns into an insurance case?
No win, no fee. I would say, I would say Tim should have been more aware of where he was stepping out into, because he was stepping out into the road. But as I was in the car, legally, it would probably fall on me, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that Abraham Lincoln should have been wearing a bulletproof vest when he went to the theatre.
Yeah, or Kennedy should have ducked, I suppose, as well, right? Yeah.
No, then that's, what is it?
It's tough, truthful, isn't it? Because I just, line. You know, I a confession to the pod, I pretty much would believe anything that Ram says, because I just, he's such a top bloke, and I'm just led down the path of belief here. I mean, is it blind belief, Gareth? What do you think? Am I being blind? Am I being charmed by the man once again?
Yeah, I think we can all be lulled into Ram's, I'm going to say, web of deceit here, but that's not really the angle I'm going
deceit.
For.
Web of deceit, I like that, yeah.
I'm inclined to believe that this did happen.
So am I. Yes,
run over Tim Sherwood.
Yeah, have you ruined it now for the rest of your life with us? Have you lied to us?
In years to come, when people say, "How did the podcast end?" is I think the first crack was when Gareth said that there was a web of deceit around Ram. I think that's probably the beginning of the end. So, Ram, did you nearly run over Tim Sherwood?
I did, in fact, not run over Tim Sherwood.
I feel slighted. I feel like you've lied to me.
I feel bad.
You lied to me. How could you lie to me? You always said you'd tell me the truth.
I feel genuinely awful.
Well, it's still
you should,
time, Ram,
because
isn't
that was so convincing. You should. That was so utterly convincing.
Yeah. I thought my reaction to when I just before I read it gave it away. That was a genuine, like, what the?
That was when I thought that you were throwing us a curve. I thought, he's just doing that. And I thought we'd lulled you into a false sense of security with our gentle line of question. Well, not so gentle.
I don't know. I read that as him thinking, oh, yeah, I forgot. I tell Milo about that.
That was a genuine, like, I couldn't contain.
Well played, but unfortunately, I'll never trust you again.
Am I going to have to run over Tim Sherwood?
There's still time.
Nearly ran him over.
I've done it, Steph. I've done it.
Nearly run it.
Well, the bit that's most alarming, lads, is he actually has told the truth about one element, which is that, you know, he finds Tim Sherwood to be a relatively decent guy in their interactions. Yeah. I mean, that is, you have said that before on several occasions. So, anyway.
And that means it's a draw.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh God, well, don't let me take a penalty if it goes to a shootout, will you? Unless there's a goalkeeper.
It's Christmas. I think a draw is a good place to leave it. I think our individual liar of the week is Ram.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I'll take it. I'll take the accolade.
And Jeez, that was fun.
Nice one. Yeah,
that was excellent. That was good.
Yeah, well played, Milo.
Yeah, great idea. Great idea, Milo. Yeah, really good.
We'll be back next week to talk about our games against Brentford and Aston Villa. So some proper football to talk about at last. If you like the pod, please tell your Spurs supporting friends. As always, thanks for joining us and we'll see you next week.